Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Do you copy?
Yes, 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 I copy. I'm detached.
Give me your position.
I don't know. I'm spinning. I can't.
Report your position.
GPS is down. It's down.
Give me a visual.
I told you nothing. I see nothing.
You have a visual of Explorer.
No.
You have a visual of ISS.
No.
You need to focus. Anything. The sun and the earth. Give me coordinates.
I can't breathe.
You're burning oxygen. You have to sip, not gulp.
So where's home, Dr. Stone?
Lake Zurich, Illinois.
Is there somebody down there looking up, thinking about you?
I had a daughter. A little girl with brown hair. Tell her that I'm not quitting.
Just a bit of the trailer from the movie Gravity. It's quickly become the most popular movie in the cinema now, and of course it sounds very, very intense. Just the premise, getting tossed off into free orbit, and I don't want to know how it ends. I actually want to go see this one in the theaters, which is a rare thing for me. We're going to be reviewing this movie, Gravity, in all of its intensity. Pastor Ted Giese, he says there's some religious, if not Christian, symbolism in the film. That'll be part of our review. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Thursday afternoon. It's the 17th of October. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Ted Giese is our first guest. We'll go about 20 minutes with him, and then we're going to be talking with Pastor Bill Swirla about the vocations, the twin vocations, the inseparable vocations of husbands and wives. A little bit later in Hour 2 of Issues Etc., we'll talk about some of the message that J.S. Bach sends through his various cantatas, in particular Reformation cantatas, not always in the lyrics, sometimes in the music and the way the two go together, with Hungarian composer and organist Balint Karosi. And then the last half hour of Issues Etc. we'll spend with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, continuing our weekly series with him on Christ in the Old Testament. Today we'll be in Genesis chapter 32, Jacob wrestling with God. Now you can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at Issues ETC. Pastor Ted Giese is a regular guest. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he's an instructor for the course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary in Canada titled Christianity and the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
You say this is science fiction, but not science fantasy. What's the difference between those two?
I think the difference that most people would be able to really narrow in on is that science fiction, in the classical sense, is really rooted in hard science. Science fiction fantasy, which mostly people call science fiction, that's the kind of stuff that has lightsabers and phasers and tractor beams and googly-eyed aliens and things that are not really rooted in hard science right now.
Is it also just a kind of a feature of science fantasy as opposed to science fiction that science fantasy tends to have its own kind of separate worldview, often absent God or with some other substitute religion in its place, like Star Wars with the whole Jedi genre of spirituality?
Exactly. It's just less rooted in the real material world that we live in or any kind of hard science that people would know from a textbook or from a class they may have taken in high school or university or anything like that.
The premise of this movie, Gravity, is pretty simple. What is it?
It's some astronauts up in orbit working on the Hubble Space Telescope. There's a kind of an accident, or something happens that causes an accident, which leaves them then stranded in space.
Now, the title, do you think it's appropriately named?
I think so. The title is Gravity, and what the person wants to do is to get back to Earth, and gravity is the thing that's holding everybody on Earth. So that's, just on a very simple level, that's a very good title. I think that there's also a sense where gravity is perhaps on a secondary track is a spiritual kind of title also, in that this character is one who's trying to find their center of gravity when it comes to spiritual things as well.
You talk about some religious or spiritual symbols, if not Christian symbols, that kind of punctuate the story. What are they, Pastor Giese?
Well, there's three different ones that come up. And the first one you might not be watching for as you're watching the film. If you've seen the film, you may have noticed it in passing. The first one is Marvin the Martian from the Looney Tunes cartoons. There's a little collectible model of it that shows up at one point. And then there's a prayer card that has an Eastern Orthodox icon of St. Christopher on it. And then the last one is a bodhisattva, which is a Buddhist symbol. And people most commonly know this as kind of like the laughing Buddha. It's like the big fat little Buddha that you see out places. It's a little statue of that kind of thing. You see these in three different locations during the course of the film, and they kind of punctuate, like you said, a secondary storyline that's occurring. On the surface, you have just the thrill ride of a kind of a thriller in orbit. And then on top of that, then you have also this other secondary storyline, which is about the internal struggle that the character is going through.
You mentioned the little Looney Tunes character. Why do you interpret that in religious, generally religious terms?
Well, it fits in with this because each of these objects is a small votive object, something that you could hold in your hand. So this also is like that. So in terms of symbolism, it's being used in the same way as the other two, which then means how is this an object connected to spirituality? Well, it kind of isn't, but it is. It's definitely connected to materialism. Marvin the Martian, the way that this is depicted is it's this collectible model of the character. And that's not something for children. It's not a toy. It's made for adults to buy and put on their desk or in their den or something like that. And in that way, it's part of consumer culture in North America. And it's also connected to adult notions of nostalgia, like looking back at something from their childhood, let's say, primarily maybe something that would appeal specifically to baby boomers, because the Looney Tunes cartoons had their kind of height during the baby boomer period of growing up. So that would be kind of connected to that. So it's definitely an object that has more import to it than just a cursory, visual look at it might have. Like it's definitely acting symbolically, and it's definitely connected to materialist culture and childhood, I guess.
The more obvious one there, obviously, the St. Christopher icon. What would you observe about that?
That's the most, that's the Christian one of these three. And there's a story with St. Christopher. St. Christopher, there's a legend about him starting out as a very strong, powerful individual who's seeking to serve a king, the best king there is. And then through that process, he finds Christ. Well, one of the ways that he ends up serving people is crossing them, ferrying them across a river, walking them across, carrying them on his shoulders. And at one point, he carries his little baby across, and he marvels at how heavy this baby is, and he complains that the baby's weight is causing him to be in danger, that he may die crossing the river with his baby. On the other side of the river, the baby in this legend turns out to be Jesus as a small child, and then it's revealed through dialogue in the legend that this baby is Jesus, and that he wasn't just bearing this small child, but he was also bearing the world and the one who made it on his shoulders. So that's why it was so heavy. So that's, if you know that story and you see this St. Christopher, you know, prayer card pop up, St. Christopher is the patron saint of travel within Roman Catholic tradition and in the Eastern Orthodox tradition. Plus you have this extra story of this child and the weight of the child because it's the weight of the world. And then if you have that in this movie where you have a woman who's struggling with grief over the death of a child orbiting literally Earth, and her being on this internal spiritual odyssey alongside this thrill ride of trying to get where she needs to go, it all kind of comes together, and, you know, symbolically it's really connected to everything that's going on.
With about a minute before we take a break, start us on that third symbol, the Buddhist symbol you mentioned before.
Yeah, the Bodhisattva, it's a symbol for joy and contentment in life. So it's not an austere one. You've often maybe seen, like, the Buddhist one of the very skinny, bony Buddha. This is not that kind of thing. So by the time you get to this symbol in the movie, you know, there's a real concrete decision being made about whether to embrace contentment, to carry on, or not to. There you go. That'll get us going.
All right, when we come back a few more minutes with Pastor Ted Giese, we're reviewing the movie Gravity on this Thursday, October the 17th. Stay tuned.
And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Issues, Etc. Reformation Week begins October 21st. 5 days of Reformation-themed programs with some of your favorite guests. And here's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen. It's a special church bulletin insert for Issues, Etc. Reformation Week. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Reformation Week bulletin insert. We have 5 different bulletin inserts for each time zone. Issues, Etc. Reformation Week.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel, more than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for you and the divine service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. If you designate your Thrivent Choice dollars to Issues, Etc. online before October 31st, Thrivent will designate an additional $25 to Issues, Etc. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio and give an additional $25 to LPR, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. We're reviewing the movie Gravity on this Thursday, October the 17th. In just a few minutes, Pastor Bill Swirla will join us. We'll talk about the vocations of husbands and wives. So we have the three symbols, as you've kind of summarized them here, that punctuate the story. There is a point in the story, Pastor Giese, not to give too much away, where the Sandra Bullock character actually, well, does she pray? What does she do?
She's at this point where she's got a glimmer of hope. She's made some radio contact with someone. It turns out it's only one way, though, and she's just receiving a broadcast kind of a thing. But at that point, she kind of breaks down and she just says, no one will mourn for me. No one will pray for my soul. I've never prayed. Nobody has taught me how. And it kind of gets this monologue going and some other stuff happens, but she starts kind of talking out loud. And it's not exactly a prayer, but it's also not a prayer. She's just really in desperation and doesn't know what to do next. My wife and I, when we left the movie, she had commented that, you know, that it's interesting how sometimes, you know, like when a real big crisis happens and somebody who's doesn't have a faith that they've lived with and grown with over time, when they're caught in that moment, then suddenly they need something. And this is what you see in this, is that this person is on this trajectory and they're moving along and they've finally gotten to the point where they need something, and they start to do something that's, they're not even sure what it is, but it's, prayer comes up as a topic there. When you have that prayer card, which is used in some traditions to help put prayer in front of somebody's eyes and encourage them to pray, and the actual process of going through a tragedy itself and dealing with grief, if there's no one there to help them learn how are they going to learn how? She has an internal instinct that maybe she should be praying. So it is very interesting. It's a very interesting scene. And I think it's interesting in our modern landscape of spirituality in North America.
One more question on this. There's a phrase that stands out to you. Is it at the kind of the prologue to the movie, life in space is impossible? Why does that stand out to you?
Well, when a director goes and throws something like that up at the very beginning of a movie, you know that you should probably be paying attention to that idea as you go through. And when you think of it in terms of being a Christian, you start to think of how, well, as a Christian, as I watched it, I started thinking about how life is impossible without Christ, particularly eternal life, you know, life that matters, life that continues past this mortal coil at this time. And running along in the theme of the film, you get this kind of notion of rebirth or a new birth, a new life. And then as a Christian watching it, you start to think of baptism. And there are a couple spots that really make that connection along the way too. They very literally want you to think of a rebirth for this character. There's a scene where she's floating in space and in kind of an embryonic kind of pose as though she was a fetus. And it's along the way that she's going through this whole process. And when you're thinking about that, then you start thinking about baptism, perhaps, like I was. And when you think of Jesus talking to Nicodemus and other areas in Scripture talking about that, and really how the answer to life is impossible in space, or life in space is impossible for the Christian, everything is made possible through God. Everything is impossible in the long term without Him. And that's what I started thinking about as I was watching.
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He's instructor for a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary in Canada titled Christianity and the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. You can read his review of Gravity at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Ted, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.